So, what I want you to do just now is think about who are the people in your life who invited you. Just think for a moment. And I don't just mean to Alpha, I mean to church, into faith in Jesus Christ. Who was it? Who was it? Who invited you in? Was it your parents or your grandparents or your friends? Who was it? Are you sitting right beside them? Or are they sitting over the aisle? And what I want you to do in your heart just now, because you know that God can, he can eavesdrop on your inner thoughts, right? Only being in the universe that can do that, apart from yourself. Just give thanks for them. Remember them by name. Give thanks for them. You done that? Have you done that? Then you're in the right frame of mind to receive this word. Now, I've got some news for you. You know that Jesus loves his church, right? But God loves old church and new church. Sometimes we wonder that Ross and I were at a thing this week looking at how to help churches to, in fact, Douglas was as well. He was helping lead it. But how do we encourage churches to reach the generations that are missing from our churches? Now, they're not missing here, but how do we do that? How do we engage with the missing generations? And one of the things that I loved about it is it recognizes that God loves old church and new church. He loves the old church. He loves the old church that was faithful and was there and was doing chaplaincy in the schools, that was visiting the sick and the dying and the bereaved, was taking the opportunity week by week to gather in worship and to support and love one another. He loves old church. But Jesus also loves new church. He loves the fresh green shoots. He loves new believers coming in. Whether you're 80 or 8, when you first realize that Jesus loves you and you respond in kind to that, God loves that too. And in building new church in the old church, Alpha's been key right from the start. I did my first Alpha course when I was at Pennycook South and helped lead there. And I was determined that when I came here, we would do the same here. So around about 2000, we started making rumblings about doing Alpha. And that first Alpha conference, I know, was pivotal for the Harrisons. Alistair Dunlop had a wonderful time. It was get him at lunchtime and get him to tell you the stories of heading up to Perth for that first Alpha conference that we went to see if we could engage in this. But just as a show of hands, for how many of you here was Alpha key in your journey to come here? Can you just a wee show? Look at all that. Look at that. Carol's putting up her hand in the gallery there. And when we're up at the thing on Wednesday, I met Jeff Redmayne, who's little brother to David Redmayne. And David and Carol were leading the course in Pennycook that Carol came to faith on. And it's just incredible that when we think about it, these are real concrete people, real times that we make that choice to decide and to follow. And in the building of this church, in the Holy Spirit's plans, Alpha has been key. Now, I'd like you to look up in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 10. Can you do that with me? Matthew chapter 10. And this is going to be our scripture this morning. Matthew 10 and 1 to 20. If you want to read along with me, make sure you got the New Living Translation. That is the translation for those of you with a magnifying glass in your pews, but only for the next few weeks. After that, we'll be putting our Bibles to the side. Now, has everyone got that? Matthew 10. So Jesus is getting his followers ready. How many disciples did he have? 12, okay. So Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits, to heal every kind of disease and illness And here are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who's called Peter. Then Andrew, Peter's brother. James, son of Zebedee. Every time I read that, ding, 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 ding. Okay, just if you're a certain age, that's funny. John, James' brother. Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus. Thaddeus, Simon, who didn't want to bunk with Matthew because he was a zealot. Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions. Don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only go to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the... just check. Kim, how's your throat? Good stuff. Heal the sick. Yeah, no, that's it. I'm with it. You're with me now. Raise the dead. Cure those with leprosy. Cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. And if you want to continue doing that, Ian will happy have lunch with you. Don't take any money in your money belts, no gold or silver or even copper coins. Don't carry a traveler's bag with a change of clothes or sandals or even a walking stick. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality because those who work deserve to be fed. Whenever you enter a city or a village, search for a worthy person, or I love the translation, a person of peace. I use that phrase a lot. And stay in his home. That's what Colin was saying about Kim, you know, is a lovely person, right? Stay in his home until you leave town. And when you enter that home, give it your blessing. If it turns out to be a worthy home, let your blessing stand. If it's not, take the blessing back. Stick it in your pocket and take it somewhere else. If any household in town refuses to welcome you or listen to the message, shake its dust from your feet as you leave. I tell you the truth. The wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah will be better off than such a town on the day of judgment. Look, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes, harmless as doves, but beware, for you'll be handed over to the courts and will be flogged with whips in the synagogues. You will stand trial before the governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be the opportunity to tell the rulers and the unbelievers about me. When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time, for it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Okay. So, what is the key message of this little passage in Matthew? We could take some time teasing it out. Anybody want to shout out what, as they're hearing that, what are they thinking? You're probably listening to the TripAdvisor thing at the end going, one star review for being whipped and flogged and arrested and dragged in front. Don't fancy signing up for that, yeah? As moneyed Westerners, we feel a bit rough about that. And I think our ancestors did too. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Has anyone here found that sharing the love of Jesus with people is tough? That you end up in some tough situations? Yeah, absolutely. Okay. But contained in it as well, once we've got over the kind of, oh, really, is don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Okay. Rely on others. You see that? And don't just rely on others who already trust. And he does say go to Israel. So he's saying go to people who should be Jewish, all right? And if they're going to be properly Jewish about it, if you ask to have lodging in their house, then they will do so. But rely on others. Look for people who are open. They don't have to be there yet, okay? But just look for people who are open. Rely on God. Yeah? Don't take your big missions organization and loads of cash and whatever. Just rely on God. I'm sure the Scots are going to be nodding through this one. Been there. Rely on God. But here's the last one. Don't go alone. Do you hear me? Don't go on your own. Now, you can do mission on your own, but guess what? You're easy discouraged on your own, aren't we? We are easy discouraged on our own. So don't go on your own. Take someone with you. Find a chum. And then you'll be able to sustain in doing this. Right. You heard all that? Okay. Who here has recurring nightmares? Okay. I have a recurring nightmare that involves this lovely valley. Now, are there any super Scots in here who know where that is? You'd have to be really good. It is Scotland. It's in the Scottish borders, in between Selkirk and Hoyk. This is Ettrick Bridge. Anyone been to Ettrick Bridge? Okay. Was it raining? Just checking. Now, so this is Ettrick Bridge. See if my lasery pointery thing is working. Probably not. Can't see it. Right, okay. So you see that big hill? So at the bottom of that hill, and there's a field. You can kind of see a meadow around with trees around it. Okay. That place was used for generations of camping ground. How do I know that? Because I was a scout. All right? Sorry for you BBists. I mean, you guys march better than us. But I was a scout. Old Baden Powell's bunch of scouts. We went there as the 12th Midlothian. And yes, we were substantially less brilliant than the 1st Midlothian of Gorebridge. They won everything apart from the swimming, which we had. But I couldn't swim very well, so it was disappointing. But first aid, pioneering, all that stuff, football, the 1st Midlothian ruled the roost. And Andy Wilkie would now be looking proud. In fact, I think we had a nasty tackling situation in the old Gala field out there back in the day. Just saying. Now, when we were younger. So we camped down there. Now that looks lovely, doesn't it? And at times it was lovely, but at other times it was not lovely. And I was 12 years old, and I love food. Okay, you love food? So if you're going to eat decent food at the beginning of the summer holidays in Scotland, what do you need? You need a fire, okay? Because a packet of biscuits will only get you so far. So you had to make a fire. See, here's my recurring nightmare, okay? To make a fire, you got to get a fire going, don't you? And to get a fire going, you actually need to collect some wood. And not just the first wood you find, you need to find wood of different sizes. An old dry is preferably. Although I have to say, entrepreneurial me discovered that gorse bush burns green, okay? But it doesn't cook your tea. So you'd make the stone circle and you'd dig the turfs off and put them to one side. You'd have your water boiler up one end and you had to light the fire. Here's my recurring nightmare. I have this on occasion, is that it's raining. I mean, it's not rudding it down like this, but it's not far off it. And I have responsibility for every six's fire because, you know, there'll be about a dozen sixes all over the campsite in various places. And I've got to get their fires lit. So I'm working away to get one fire lit in the drizzle with wet green sticks, yeah? And I just about get it smoldering, and then I have to go off and do the other fires. And when I get back to the first fire, what's happened? It's gone out, right? And I get to the next fire, what's happened? Okay? And I think somewhere is the frightening visage of Edgar, okay? Edgar was an old scouter. He was one of those old scouters that you couldn't tell which regiment he was in because it was all smudgy on his forearm. Are you hearing me? He had a pit in his cheek, okay, like a moon crater, which we imagined was from tank shrapnel. He was that kind of guy. Those of us who were scouts in the 70s, the older scouters had shot people, all right? So it was tough being a scout. It's a recurring nightmare. And I'm running around trying to get these fires lit, and Edgar, he's kind of, because he came into our, we were cooking for him one night, and you could see the look on his face, oh, you lot. And he says, right, you, wood, you, kindling, you, water, you, light the fire. Okay. He says, it was only about 5'4", but gee whiz, you did what you were told. So eventually we got that fire going. Now, of course, what's the solution to this recurring nightmare? What's the solution? If you're going to have to light a bunch of campfires, what do you do first? Get one campfire going. So Edgar had told me to get the fire going, so I went to the next six who had this, they could have immolated a cow on their campfire. They were doing just fine. In fact, they were tucking into their bananas and hot custard already because they were better scouts than us. We hadn't got ours, if we tried to cook bacon on it, we'd had to cut out the fat, which we did on one occasion, but that's for another day. So I took a stick and I stuck it in their fire, all right? And then like an Olympian, through the rain, with spits coming off the stick, as it would, shoved that into my fire, and what happened? And yet I still have this nightmare. Why do I have this nightmare? Here's why I think I have this nightmare. You've got to get one going. If you run about daft just trying to get loads and loads and loads and loads of fires going, it doesn't work. You've got to get one going. What Sunday is it today? Alpha Sunday. Can you see an application for this? Okay. Just get one. Just get one. So we had a look at my... Have you got your phones? Okay, this is a very interactive Sunday. Well, not only have we done Google, thank you, Douglas, but now I'm going to ask you to go into Bible Gateway or Life TV Bible or whatever, or a free Bible or, you know, Indonesian Bible that you can get in Pidgin English, whatever it is that you use, okay? And I want you to do a word search, all right? You ready? Can you do a word search? Would you look up Peter for a word search, okay? How many results you got? 205. Okay, lovely. Now what I'd like you to do is to look up, do a word search for Andrew. How many? 14. So 205 for Peter and 14 for Andrew. That's a disparity, is it not? Both disciples, both there in the Word. Peter's mentioned over 200 times. Andrew doesn't even make 20. Okay? So it's kind of like, it's that thing, isn't it? Why does he get to stay up later than me? Yeah. Who is responsible for bringing... Do you all know stories about Peter? What kind of stories? Yes, he denied Jesus 3 times. Walked on the water.
Jesus said that I will make you fishers of men.
I'll make you fishers of men, and I'll build my church upon you, because Peter, you're not Simon the Reed, you're Peter the Rock. Okay, yeah, okay, all that stuff. Was Peter a key man in the story, yeah? Okay, any stories about Andrew? Andrew was involved in the feeding of the 5,000 patron saint of food banks. Thank you very much, Kath. I like that a lot. That's fantastic. And of course, he's the patron saint of Scotland, but he doesn't get mentioned that much, which is probably why he's the patron saint of Scotland. I was listening to a Scottish comedian just the other day, and it was in London, and he says, "I'm for Glasgow. Any Scots people here?" And there was a few people going, "Yeah." He says, "Oh, outspending money. That's progress." So, made me laugh. So Peter there figures just hugely in the story, but Andrew is the one who brings Peter to Jesus. We get this in John's Gospel in John 1, just after John's been through that cosmic kind of word become flesh thing, and then he goes to the start, and it's Andrew who brings Peter to Jesus saying, "I think we have found the Messiah." That's it. I think we found him. And Andrew does a few other things. There's a feeding of 5,000. I mean, you know, he's a bit player. Okay, he gets mentioned more than Thaddeus, but a lot less than Peter, James, and John. And oddly enough, Peter, James, and John are Jesus' inner circle. Andrew's not part of that. His brother is, and the two brothers from the neighboring boat are. So, but I don't think Andrew took that hard. It's just some of us are like that, right? Some of us are like that. Some of us are high-energy people, very visible. Some of us are low-energy people and just work away in the background. You imagine if Andrew hadn't brought Peter to Jesus, yeah? The history of the early church would have been different. But he did. For me, my Andrews were loads of people were implicated in me becoming a Christian, including my poor praying mother and father, who was, you know, obviously had a vested interest in my life heading in the right direction. But the two key friends were Chris and Richard. And they dragged me to everything. They took me to SU, where I met Diane. They took me to crusaders. They took me to church things. They you know, and they really did. I owe them a huge debt of gratitude, and barely a week goes by I don't thank God for them. And yet they both walked away from Jesus within a couple of years. It's one of those strange things. But I'm so glad that they did, and God's not finished with them yet. Imagine if Andrew hadn't brought Peter to Jesus. Now, so obviously the inference of that is that just being Andrew, yeah? Here's a phrase that's going to make your day. You want your day made? Okay, here it is. Back to my recurring nightmare. You see, for much of my Christian life, I imagined it was my job to tell people about Jesus, and I was really anxious about it. I mean, what if I don't do it properly and they wind up going to hell? Really? How much anxiety does that generate? Has anyone here ever lived with that fear? Right, okay, yeah, okay, okay. I want to absolve you of it right now. That doesn't come from Jesus. There is an urgency about our work. It is incredibly important, but it's not designed to make us anxious. In fact, anxious Christians are poor witnesses. You hear me? Anxious Christians make poor witnesses. Jesus promises us life in all its fullness. Our call is to, what are we asked to do to our enemies, for example? Are we panic? Panic because they're an enemy of a child of the living God, and they're on the precipice, and really like Wile E. Coyote, they've already run off the end of the cliff. They're just waiting for gravity to catch up with them. It's a terrible place to be, is it not? That's rubbish. Jesus intended our mission to be anxiety and worry free. Not that it's not challenging, not that it won't ask a lot of us, not that it won't be tough at times. But he don't want us to be surrounded by worry and anxiety. What he wants it to be filled with is love for people who don't know him yet. Do you hear me? Anxiety-free mission. And some of us were brought up in churches where evangelism was kind of turned into a high-pressure sales technique that might have worked with double glazing or timeshare or all the other things that people mug us with and try and sell us. Okay? It's not true. It's not good. It's not good. And if because of your Christian upbringing you have a habit of doing that, I just want to very gently say, stop it. Okay? The word that the Bible uses again and again, there's over 200 mentions of it in the Old Testament, New Testament, is the word to witness, okay? Witnessing means that we are ready to share, ready to tell the story of the influence that Jesus has had in our life. That we're a witness. We're a witness. We don't have to be a top sales executive. We certainly don't want to be manipulating people. We're just a witness. And if you're a good witness, the content of what you have to share will make all the difference. And if we witness in a place of trust that God will give us what... Do you remember what I said at the end of Matthew 10 there? When you're brought before the authorities, they're going to be after you. But don't worry, that's how you're going to give them the gospel. Remember last year when we were doing Acts and Felix and Festus, they heard the gospel because they arrested Paul. And eventually, it may even be that Nero himself heard the gospel. Certainly, some of his proconsuls and people in Rome heard the gospel through Jesus working in Paul's life. All right. So, what we're asking for are people who are prepared to witness. Has Jesus made a difference in your life? Just show a hand, okay? Now look at all that, okay? Do you understand how to tell that story in some vaguely coherent way? That's all you need to do. And the best thing about Alpha is that it is anxiety-free. I know just go back, as Colin was saying, Ross's word last week, you're just the postman, okay? The postman doesn't put the bill through the door thinking, oh, how are they going to pay that, you know? Could you imagine? They would have an awful life, all right? They just deliver the mail, and then they get on with it. And what does Jesus say if people reject that to these twos who he's sending out? I've got a shorthand for this. Shaky, dusty feety, okay? Shaky, dusty feety, okay? Do they have some kind of furrowed brow, kind of, oh, why do those people in Caesarea not respond? No, just go to the next town. Now, that doesn't mean we don't reflect on why things might have gone wrong, but it means that we're not meant to live with a burden when it does, because we give that back to Jesus, and we maybe figure out we're going to learn something through it. Anxiety-free mission. And this guy needs some good news, doesn't he? I love that photo. Can you not? That is British rain, is it not? Now, there is a biblical phrase that says, always be ready to give a reason for the hope you have. Yes? Who wrote that? Peter wrote that. 2 Peter 3:15. Oh, by the way, while I'm at it, just a wee erratum, just for the sake of, I've just remembered. I did say that William Wilberforce was a Tory last week. I was wrong. Sorry. Some of you go, knew it. Definitely not a Tory. Yeah. But he did vote with the Tories, okay? Party allegiances were kind of more complex back in the day, and there weren't big party machines nor three-line whips or stuff of that. And so I went and did a bit of swatting just in case, because I had a wee check. I thought, I better check that out. And indeed, the chairman of the Conservative Party, Mr. James Cleverly, has claimed that. He's sort of half right. He associated himself with the Tories, but he was the independent MP for Hull. Have we cleared that up? Good, thank you. I can sleep a bit easier now. So always be ready to give a reason for the hope you have. It's just have that ready, just as Kim was doing there. Jesus had got me through. I mean, it's got to be about the toughest year of your life, Kim. And he's got me through. There you go. And it's Peter who wrote that. So I've got a challenge for you, all right? Here's the challenge. Can you read this with me? Everyone, invite someone. So we have some evangelists in our midst. Colin is an evangelist. Colin's one of those guys where if Colin says, come along, people go, all right then, thank you very much, and thanks for that bottle of beer. All right, that's just Colin's got that gift, all right? He's an evangelist, but we're all called to evangelism, to share the good news. Everybody invites someone. No pressure, remember? No worry, no anxiety, just pray and invite someone. And I want you to do that. We're going to have a short time after I finish this message, and I want you to focus down and ask the Holy Spirit for a name. Can I tell you a wee story? So when I was on holiday, someone hit my van. You know, it's kind of big. It's easy done. But they were kind enough to leave a message on the windscreen. But it was just an email address, and I thought, I can't even read that. But I managed to get the person, bless them. And they'd said, you know, I said, well, do you want to do it off the insurance? And I'll go find out how much it was. But my van's old and it's kind of scratchy, so I thought, I'll give him a lowball figure because I really can't be bothered getting it fixed. He'll take the van off the road and stuff. And I sent her a message saying, you know, I'll just give us whatever and we'll call it quits. And I'll get it fixed at some point in the future. To which he says, that's fine. Could you send me a photo of the estimate? Oh, it's like, okay. So I looked up the cheapest coachworks that I know, who happens to be here in Gorebridge. And I swung around to go see him, and I phoned him, and he was out walking his dog. So I went back later that day and trudged through the mud and asked him to give me an estimate, and that's fine, and okay, we'll get that sorted. He says, Ken, Mark, I've been chatting with my missus, and I just really want to come along to church. I don't know why. I said, well, why didn't you come along some Sunday? It's 10:45. Scratch the itch. Get out your system. You know, see what's going on there. And I went back into the van and thought, Alpha invite. it was kind of like, you know, the Holy Spirit gave the car a nudge or whatever, crunch. And I was like, go see him. Go see him. No, I can't be fine going to see him. Go on off here. Do you see what I mean? And sometimes we don't have our eyes on what God's doing, but if we're just humble enough, we can just hear. And somewhere in my head, I've got this list with that guy's name on it, and I'll take him an invite. And he may not come, but that's not my problem. I'll just say, hey, come along. You know, we'll feed you. It's good. Kim said it was good. How bad can it be? So, everybody invites somebody. Because if we're somebody's Andrew, we can change our life. Yeah? Because someone was your Andrew. Someone was. And somebody else was their Andrew. And of course, you can follow that trail of Andrews all the way back to Jesus and all the way back deep into our Jewish roots. So, what I'd like you to do now is to take some quiet moment. Maybe if you can play something contemplative just for a couple of minutes. And I just want you to say, Holy Spirit, I'm willing to be willing. Who do you want me to invite? And if a name pops up in your head, stick it on your phone. Scribble it on the back of your hand. There's enough women in here. Most women have got a handbag. Most handbags have a pen. So somehow, just make sure you make a note, all right? And just figure out how you're going to invite them. And what I'm going to do to help is stick up the details. So if you want to text someone just now, you can. Thursday, 16th of January, 7 p.m., here at Gorbridge Parish Church for the Alpha Introductory Evening. Let's take a couple of minutes. How'd you get on with that? You got some names? Excellent. We'll get some invites to you. Text folks, invite folks, be persistent. And if it's the fifth year you've asked them and you think it's appropriate, just keep asking. Shall we close in worship? Let's do that.